Yo, welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. You know, it's your boy Brandon.
It's your boy Sam.
Yo, man, on today's episode, we got a few things to discuss, man. First of all, we're going to talk a little bit about the show, man. We're going to talk about some of my favorite moments from this podcast, some of our favorite guests. We're also going to talk about, you know, look to the future a little bit. What are we looking forward to in 2021? Again, if you listening and you watching this live, man, by all means, you know, hit us up with some questions. We're also going to discuss adjusting the expectations. You know, we've seen a lot of, we understand we're in the middle of a rebuild. And so I think as a fan base, we need to adjust expectations. And also transfers, man. We've lost some players. We've also gained some players and some players we see coming into the portal very soon. So we're going to discuss all of that, man, on this episode. You know, it's funny. We've been doing this now for a little while, man. And we just wanted to make sure everybody knows. Listen, if you're on YouTube and you're watching this on YouTube, man, hit that subscribe button, retweet the podcast whenever you see it. For his audio, man, we have SoundCloud, we have Apple, Amazon, Spotify, like all these audio versions, man. So again, hit us up on any one of them, retweet the pod, listen on Spotify, listen on SoundCloud, whichever one you find the most appealing. Apple, I know for me, it just pops up immediately, man, but subscribe to all of them. We really want to do, you know, we got some new things coming. We got some big interviews coming coming up in 2021, man, and we want you all to be a part of it and don't miss anything. So, Sam, man, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man, let's do it. So, I mean, I guess first, man, let's before we just dive into jump into 2021, man, let's look a little bit on this year, man. 2020 was a was a crazy year, man. I think we all had to adjust some things, man. So talk about, I guess, give me one of your favorite moments from this pod.
Ooh, that's tough. Favorite moment from the pod. That's a good one. I actually didn't think about it even though I put the question out. I don't know. I think the Bridging the Gap series was a really good pod. I enjoyed that one. Having to be the live shows. The live shows is actually like the best moments because people will be so drunk when they get done watch those bad football games, man. I mean, we had one dude come on here and blast James. He blast Big James on here, which was funny as hell. And then Big J, right out, we lost, got blown out the next week. Jace came back on and blasted him. So that was funny.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's funny. When you first told me we were gonna do my favorite moment, my first thing was probably the Bridging the Gap series, right? And I think because it allowed people to have some conversations that I think people don't want to have. You know what I'm saying? Like when we look at it, I think the Bridging the Gap series for me was one of the favorite moments, just because a lot of people said they wanted to have conversations, but they really don't want to have conversations. Not only that, they're not open and honest and available to kind of take some of the heat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I appreciated everybody who came on during that series to say, hey, man, we don't get it, but we want to. You know what I'm saying? And so for that, I appreciated everybody who came on. And so, yeah, for me, that my favorite moments in the show was the Bridging the Gap series, man. Just looking back at this last year, not to mention it took up so much of our culture. It took up so much of, like, it was basically the only thing that was on the, it was the only thing that was happening, you know what I mean, around the world was, you know, after the George Floyd thing, man, players, protests, marches, presidents, other countries, everything. So it was so relevant at the time, man. The idea to do that, I thought was great.
Yeah, yeah, and it's crazy because I think that's actually how we got Ingram on the pod and how we got Richie on the pod.
If I'm exactly. Not
yeah, yeah, because Ingram had hit me up, I think, after he did the one with Richie, and he was like, I want to come on and talk about it too, and I thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, man, the Bridging the Gap series was really, really good. I mean, I hopefully we can get to doing some more little offbeat pods like that, you know, stuff other than just Florida State and just sports, because I kind of like doing it. But yeah, those was cool.
Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, as we were talking to the fans earlier, you know, we were saying, hey, listen, this podcast, yeah, we're going to discuss Florida State, you know, that's always, but we're also going to bring in some other topics, man. If it's some more current events and some things happening around the world, we absolutely going to discuss it. You know, we might dive into some NBA. We definitely gonna talk about Florida State basketball. So we're going to definitely take it, you know, to some different places, but we'll discuss that more when we talk about, you know, things we plan to do in 2021. But yeah, that was by far, man, I think my favorite moment. The live shows, again, I missed most of them because I was already drunk. So it's like Sam hit me up and be like, hey man, you gonna do this live show? And I was gone. I was 3 sheets to the wind. And so I knew for a fact that I wasn't gonna make it. And if I did, it'd be the next morning. He'd be like, hey man, we recorded a live show. It was lit. And so I get in there, so I look, I listen to it, and it's just organized chaos, man. It was like, it was, yeah, like it was wild, man. Them shows was wild, man. I loved it. Like James was by far the funniest, though. James would get on there and just tell the absolute truth, and I think it hurt people because they was like, no, James, you can't tell James that he not loyal to the program. So it hit him different, you know what I'm saying? Like James is, he reached out to players. He got, you know what I mean, he has the radio show with Jacksonville. Like, this is a guy who, you know, he played for the team. You can't tell him he's not no-blooded. Yeah. So it hurt them that he was saying, nah, man, we stuck, and this is unacceptable. And, man, just to see the salt. Like, you could feel it. Like, people got mad at James, man, which is why he got blasted. And then James would be like, yeah, but I was right in the long run. You know what I'm saying? So, James on those live shows was hilarious.
Yeah. I think my favorite moment with James was when he said, I'm tired of talking. When he about got the pipe, I'm talking about these losers.
I was on there for that one. Man, you know what I'm hanging out? I'm trying to talk about these losers. That was the one with T-Wig. That was the one with T-Wig and James, if I'm not mistaken.
No. It was the one with Dawkins. Dawkins was on
that's
there.
Right. That was the one with Dawk. Yeah, that's right.
Big Dog was on that one. So, man, let's get into it. We are starting to get some questions rolling in. So let's go ahead and get into the pod, man.
Okay, man. Let's do it, man. So I guess the first thing I wanted to really expectations. So I saw something on the timeline yesterday that floored me. So, you know, schedule who we were playing next year, you know, hit the timeline. And the very first thing I saw was, man, looking at this schedule, I can realistically see us going 10-2.
Right.
I looked, and I'm in a room by myself. I was like, I didn't know what to respond. I didn't know what to type. 10-2. So let me say something very clear. We're not going 10-2. Like, we're not doing it. I can say that with, I put a lot of money on the fact that we're not going 10-2. And again, it's not about the fan base. It's not about, you know what I mean, oh man, you don't believe and all this stuff. Man, the reason why we did this was because we felt like it was a whole bunch of lies on the timeline. We felt like it was a whole bunch of people acting irrational and calling things that weren't really what they were. So we started this for the reason to just be real. You know what I mean? Be real, be rational about it. And I'm just not seeing it. Like, there's no way possible that I believe we can get to 10 wins, right? Again, you're talking about upsetting some teams. You got to upset a lot of teams to get to 10 wins. Teams that are currently in the playoff this year. You know what I mean? So what what I wanted to talk about was really, all right, understand something. We're in the middle of a rebuild. And so we cannot assume, all right, 1 year, we're going to be good. Next year, I mean, 1 year, we're going to be terrible. I mean, just absolutely terrible, which is what we were this year. And next year, we 10 wins and we beating teams and we ain't got no business. Again, if you have decided that you want to acknowledge the fact that this was year zero and this is a rebuild, then by no means can you assume that next year you're going 10-2. I mean, just like, you can't. So when adjusting expectations means understanding that incremental progress is probably what you're going to see. So we won 3 wins this year. Let's try to win 3 and maybe add a couple. If you can get to 6 wins, I'm telling you, throw parties in the street. And I'm not trying to be funny about it. I'm telling you, that's more realistic than you telling me, you know, we going 10-2. You look at Louisville, you look at Miami. Those are teams who both combined for over 100, you know, over 100 points against you. You right. Telling me that we swinging that far the other way to where we're not going to beat those teams? I don't know. North Carolina State rolled up 100, you know what I mean? Rolled up 50 some points on you. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, what's happening? Clemson, you know, they're going to hang 100 on you by themselves because Dabo mad and he's going to want to send a message.
Right.
So you already know that Clemson going to hang 100. So at this point, you got to, man, that I can count you 3-4 losses easy. Notre Dame, again, you open up the season with Notre Dame. It's probably not ideal for any one of your quarterbacks, any one of your situations, because you're going to take, you know, again, you got a lot of new players in. We said the problem with this year, they were first year in the system. Well, we've decided to do transfers this year, so you basically got a whole bunch of new players in the system. They may make impacts, but I doubt they're gonna make it game one. And so that's what I mean. Like, again, so let's adjust these expectations, man. And as opposed to shooting for 10 wins, man, let's really say, hey, man, strong six and competitive in the other six. That's progress.
Right. I mean, well, expectations. I mean, your expectations should match your commitment. That's always been my opinion. Expectations should match the commitment. I don't think the FSU administration is committed to creating an elite football program yet. I don't see that type of commitment. I mean, you've seen LSU just get rid of a whole bunch of first-year guys on their staff because it wasn't good enough, even in a pandemic, even in the pandemic year. FSU is not going to do that. All right. So when you look at it, you got to say, does the administration have a type of commitment that says, this isn't good enough, let's go win 10 games next year? I don't see that. I don't see that on the recruiting trail as far as bag droppers. You know what I'm saying? And we're not swimming in the type of pool that says 10, 11, 12 wins. I think the type of things you want to hear is the practice habits going to change next year? Are we seeing guys practice harder? Are we seeing guys prepare better, spend more time at the facilities, and buying in? If we can start doing, let's start doing that first. I think, and I'm big, you know, I was one of those guys that I don't like to always judge coaches by wins and losses. I like to kind of judge guys how the process is going. How's your process going? I mean, we decided with the last coach, it was about wins and losses. And this coach, we try to say, well, the process and this and that. So I think you have to look at the expectations of that. I think they'll be practicing better next year. I think more guys will want to be on the team next year and want to work with the coaches next year. I find it hard that you're going to get anything more out of Adam Fuller than what you got last year. So 6 wins, 7 wins, that's about what the neighborhood you're going to be hanging out in. And with that type of stuff out there, I think that's when you look at, can you recruit? Can you overachieve in recruiting? I think you can overachieve in recruiting. You know what I'm saying? I think you can with 6 or 7 wins, because I believe that you should have a big enough foothold and a big enough sample size of who you are as a coach that get guys to buy into what you got going on. I mean, I've seen bad teams have bad seasons and have great recruiting classes. Tennessee did it last year. And when I kept saying Tennessee didn't make any progress last year, people was telling me I was lying that they beat Indiana and they went on a 3-game winning streak when they didn't beat nobody. But I think it was Vanderbilt and Kentucky, I think, and Indiana. Mm-hmm. Right. And everybody was like, yeah, Pruitt got to turn around. I was like, no, Pruitt does not have a turnaround. He just can recruit. So it's all about that, you know. Can Norvell recruit on that level? We're going to find that out next year. Everybody's going to give them a pass this year. That's fine. But we'll find out next year, because next year there won't be really any excuses for that. So we'll see.
Yeah. The recruiting question, you know, that we got, I don't know, man. 8 wins will allow us to get to a place. But like you said, Sam, at this point, If we get 8 wins, yeah, that allows you to maybe put yourself into some elite category, because at least says you're heading in the right direction, and that's what I think a lot of elite players want to see. In the state of Florida, you have to just keep making connections, and that's why I think they're missing. You know what I'm saying? I still think they have made some strides. I give them that. They have made some strides in the right direction, but they got to do a little bit more when it comes to making some more effort, man, making some more connections, making some more relationships. And here's the other thing I was thinking about as well when I talk about recruiting. He was at a disadvantage because he has no
This is definitely coffee. It's definitely coffee.
No, it's funny. No, Cubby said $20 said they ain't no coffee. But no, man, it's – I think the thing, shoot, I lost my train of thought, but no, what he was saying was, he was at a disadvantage. That's what I was saying. He was at a disadvantage because he wasn't able to get these guys on campus. He wasn't able to, you know, go into these kids' homes. And again, from what we told, what we were told about Mike Norvell's strong suit was that he needs to be in these guys' homes. He needs to be face to face. I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know if that, you know, if that's true. I don't, you know, I don't know very much about Mike and his recruiting style. I'm just saying that that's what we were told. He needed to be face to face. He needed to get these guys on campus. And part of it is that, you know what I mean? Like, part of the bad dropping is kind of getting these guys on campus and being able to see it. So a little bit, he was at a little bit of an advantage. So I do expect next year, the logo still holds weight, in my opinion. So at that point, all right, let's see it. You know what I mean? Let's see when he can get these guys on campus, when he can go into some of these kids' homes, and then maybe you can see if he can, you know, be in the room with some of these guys along with some improvement. Again, I don't think they're getting eight wins. Again, I'm gonna pull it up in a minute. These when you talk, Sam, and I'm just kind of go a real early preview and look and see. But I know I looked at it. I saw three in the possible. I saw a bunch of games that I think somebody said to me winnable. I think winnable is a very is a key word in that one. But
well, but I mean at the same time we can't really. I mean. We got to see how the roster shakes out first. I think still early on, we got to see how the roster shakes out. I don't think this roster is done. So let's talk about the transfers they get in there now.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
So we got the guy. So it's some rumors about James Cook. I got to be honest with you. I got to see it to believe it with the James Cook thing. I got to see it to believe it. I think that James Cook. I think they should be done at running back, but if you can get James Cook, I think you take James Cook. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. Is he more talented than Toa Fili?
I think so. But I don't think it's a running back at the end of the day. I don't know how much different that is from one person to the next. It's a running back at the end of the day. So we got to see how that works out. I would take James Cook, though. I would definitely take James Cook. Also, the defense end they just got, I think, was a great pull. I mean, I think it would have been better had we kept Robinson. If Robinson and Kendall would have came back and you add that other end, I think then you'd have been really cooking with something special right there.
Yeah, because then you got the depth, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then you got proper depth to go with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, I think what they're looking at is they're saying they expect this freshman to have immediate impact as well. You know, like I said, I think T Wig won't mind me saying it, but I talked to, you know, Wig, and he called me, man, and he was like, listen, he was like, I know you're not super high on him because you don't believe, you know, freshmen. I just don't believe freshmen contribute immediately. I think it takes time. So for me, I'm not really in the whole camp of, all right, you know, he going to come in to be instant impact.
Right.
But, you know, he's basically saying this guy is quick twitch, you know, very lengthy, got good bend. And even though he's small now, they expect by the time, you know, by the time football starts next season, he'll be up to 230, 235 in muscle. So they've added 25 pounds of muscle. So at that point, he will be, you know, ready. And so, okay, if you tell me you're pairing this quick twitch guy with what, you know, a guy who they're saying is NFL talent on the other end, I think you really got something. It definitely changes your pass rush. Now, again, what that back half is doing and how fully translate that information and the furniture is able to get through to these kids the way they need to.
Right.
I thought the kids who are leaving now also had talent. So,
but the coach John Papuchas did a good job of the defensive ends this year. I mean, yeah. I didn't think the ends was. I mean, I know people got onto J. Rob about certain things, but I think overall they got better as the season went on. They didn't play bad as the season. They didn't get worse. They got better to me. You don't think so?
No. I mean, QB pressures, QB sacks, QB hurries, tackles for loss. They didn't have any of those.
Yeah, but I think they did what the scheme asked them to do. I don't know if scheme. I don't know in this scheme that you're going to get a 10-sack guy in this scheme.
Then you're scheme wrong.
Well, but Brandon, we've already decided we want to fire out of Fuller. I mean, he's coming back.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Your scheme is wrong. Yeah, like, no, you know, I mean, if you're telling me you're not trying to get to the quarterback, not trying to hurry, not trying to pressure the quarterback.
I'm not saying that they're not.
Your scheme is wrong. Like, that's football. That ain't even – that's just football.
Right, but I'm not saying he's not trying to get to the quarterback. I'm just saying I don't think this scheme is going to allow a guy to get 10 sacks in a season. That's what I'm saying.
Then no matter who you bring in the defense in, you, I mean, I
go well, out I mean, but you can create pressure. You can create pressure without getting sacked. Brandon, the defense is bad. Okay, I've said this over and over again. I mean, you argue with me. I've already said this. I'll tell you what he's trying to do. I'll just tell you what the defense is trying to do. The defense is trying to create fake pressure to create turnovers. That's what they're trying to do. They're creating these fake shadow blitzes. They're bringing guys off different points off on the edges to make it seem like it's more than just five or six. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, how did that work out for him?
I mean, Brandon, the defense is bad.
I'm just, again, listen, man.
I know what I mean was when I said 10 sacks, I mean that I don't think one guy in this defense is going to get 10 sacks in a season. I just don't. I don't think the defense is designed that way. But, I mean, we'll see. Maybe with another year. Had 10 sacks. Right. I'm saying, like, one guy, it's not going to be a Peter Bullwill in this defense. You know what I'm saying? But it's one guy screaming off the edge.
But you bring it in Peter Bullwill is what I'm saying. Like, in other words, Brandon, freshman
you've been,
guy.
You've been disrespectful to Peter Bullwill.
I know you're not bringing in Peter Bowler, but you are bringing in from what? Again, I'm only going based on what I was told. You're bringing in NFL talent, guy. The freshman again projects long term to be great. I don't know why. What's the guy that just got yesterday? Is again, Staples say the man is NFL talent is a huge pickup.
The problem, okay, but
I don't know the kid. I can look at his numbers and I can look at his numbers and say this guy gets to the quarterback, he creates pressures, causes havoc. That's what you want out of a defensive end. So again, if he lines up at Florida State and can't do those things, then to me, it says less about this kid and says more about the coaches. And then when you say again, it's still fire Fuller first. We understand that. Like he is bad and the defense is bad. But if you're not asking your defensive ends to do what defensive ends are supposed to do.
Okay, but the main thing you keep hearing every time they sign a defensive end, what's the main thing they keep saying? And it's aggravating to me that they keep saying like it's okay. What's the main thing they keep saying?
Oh, I have no idea. What
they keep saying, this guy can play in space. I'm just telling you what they say. So if they keep saying this guy can play in space, and I was like, it's a defensive end. I don't want him playing in space. I want him going to the quarterback. But
right. That's
what they got going on. So all I can do is say this.
They defensive line playing zone.
Okay. Hey, all I can do, it worked one time against North Carolina.
First of all, okay. So I've been trying not to discredit this North Carolina win, right? Because they won it. But come on, man. Like, listen, we caught a team sleep, jumped out to a big lead.
No, don't discredit the win. They beat North Carolina. North Carolina wasn't ready to play. They beat North Carolina.
They beat North Carolina. They did. Absolutely. Congratulations. What I'm saying is they showed you who they were the following 3 weeks after that.
Right.
Like, you can't take wins away, so he won it. But what I'm saying is, The North Carolina team that played Miami did not show up to play Florida State. And that's clear. I mean, so again, give them the win or whatever, but it's a lot. They played for five more minutes. Florida State loses that game. Even while going up as big as they did.
Right.
I mean, I ain't going back to North Carolina. What I will say is, listen, in the transfer portal, they are absolutely getting some guys in positions of need who I also believe are instant impact players. These are things that I know for a fact Miami did to turn around their program.
Right.
The problem is Miami has, in my opinion, a better coach. Not in Manny Diaz.
I don't think Miami got a better coach. I think Miami has more of a commitment to football right now. That's the difference. It's not that.
Yeah, but that comes along with it, though, right? Like, in other words, if Florida, they brought in an offensive coordinator because they knew Manny Diaz was struggling. And they knew, so they brought in, so again, they bought in and said, okay, we got to get this dude some help immediately before we can make a real, you know, evaluation on what this guy can do. Cool. That's commitment. That's what you're talking about.
Right.
Florida State is still sitting with Adam Fuller. And that's what I mean. Like, it's, when you say level of commitment, I agree with you. Like, I 100% agree with you. But that's what I mean. Like, they got better coaches because they got better commitment. We don't.
Yeah. I mean, the scheme, they could change things with the scheme on defense where they run a defense that allows the defensive ends to get to the quarterback. And I think we're talking about commitment with Manny Diaz and what got Manny Diaz them going. They had full buy-in with Manny Diaz. You know what I'm saying? I mean, getting those day one transfers that they got, I mean, I ain't saying Baz got dropped, but I'm saying like that connection with Adidas is a big damn deal. You know, they didn't hit on every transfer, but they bought in volumes of transfers. True. So if you bring in three quarterbacks in 2 years, you're going to hit on one of them. If you bring in four defensive ends in 2 years, you're going to hit on maybe two of them. You know what right. I'm saying? So it can't always be money ball. Sometimes you have to just throw numbers at it and hope it hits. So an FSU situation, you have people that feel like, is this a good investment? Is this guy a good investment? Is that guy a good investment? You can't think like that. You have to think, throw numbers at it and see if it hits. You know, sign four offensive tackles in 2 years, and mm-hmm. hopefully you get two starters out of that, or you get one starter. That's fine. They've created a floor at Miami. Miami's not great, but they got a floor now. They got an 8-win floor right mm-hmm. now. You know what I'm saying? So, and you raise your floor. So you raise your floor higher than one of your rivals, which is us. Well, you're able to beat them, and it looks better for recruits in state. Now they're recruiting really good in state now. So mm-hmm. Miami, man, like people keep going on this coach thing. It's coach this, coach that, coach this. Listen, man, Auburn just fired Gus Malzahn.
Yep.
Gus Malzahn is a good coach. I have no doubt in my mind about that. But every time Auburn fires a coach, the next coach they hire goes to a national championship game. I'm not saying that they are impatient with firing coaches. They are. But they have an organization, they have a structure there that coaches can come in there and have success.
Right.
So you can't be so coach reliant in your organization. LSU is not coach reliant. They've had three coaches there two coaches since Saban left. Those two coaches have won national championships. They're not coach reliant. You know what I'm saying?
Commitment.
That's commitment. That's doing things above and beyond what a head coach. Some stuff shouldn't be on a head coach's plate. All a coach should do is point to players and say, I need this player. And so, people will need to get in line and get that done. I mean, we have to stop all this. Well, this coach did this and that coach did that. No, man. This is organizations win championships.
So organizations what do you say to that? What do you say to the people who say, well, you know, Florida State don't have the money to do that?
They do got the money. If you don't have the money to do that, then you might as well just shut the football program down. I teed it up.
Like, I 100% agree with you. I mean,
no, there's money there. There's money there. Like,
they've shown that every single time they needed to come up with money for anything, people have been like, they ain't got the money. They ain't got the money. And Willie won't get fired because they ain't got the money. The money magically appeared when it was time for Willie to get fired. Money magically appeared when it was time to hire a new coach. And the same thing again. If they needed the money to fire Fuller and hire a new coach,
they could do it.
They could do it. They could absolutely right. do it. So, miss me with that. They don't have the money.
It's about commitment, man. And another problem with all of this, you know, as we talk about, I want Norvell to be successful because I want FSU to be successful. You know what I'm saying? So if the rumor is true that he wanted to fire Adam Fuller after the Louisville game, because you got players calling other high school coaches and defensive players saying they don't know what the hell the scheme is asking them to do against Louisville, and it showed up in that game. And I verified that with somebody that know a lot about this. And,
I mean, Geno Hayes put it on the timeline. Right. I mean, that's not even a secret. Geno Hayes said, hey, players reached out to me because they don't understand what to do with the scheme. Right. So, they reached out to ask me to explain it to them better.
So if you felt that way, why are you bringing him back? And it's year zero. So you have a full year with no expectations to evaluate your coaching staff. Yep. If you feel like guys are not good enough or not cutting it, then get rid of them. But is that on Norvell or is that on that FSU administration?
That's on, I think it's, you know what? again, I'm gonna say it's. I don't want to.
We have to start blaming the coaches when we got a key component. We got to stop blaming all the coaches when we got one key component for every coach. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's where you're right. That's where you're right. It has been the same. It's been the administration this whole time. And so for that, I agree with you. Right. I think it's. But I don't want to absolve Adam Fuller, because again, I mean Adam Fuller. I don't want to absolve Mike Norvell. Because here's the thing.
Hey, Brandon, real talk, you'll square with Adam Fuller if you see him in real life, bro.
No, 100%. 100%. He had to get these hands. 100%. Okay. Yeah, 100%. He had to get these hands. But no, like the reason why I don't want to absolve Mike is because as the CEO.
But he's not.
He is. He is. Like that, man, the football coach of Florida State University should absolutely be the CEO of Florida, like should run Florida State. Should. Now I agree with you. Again, the admin is wild. They flaw. I 100% agree with you. But I do believe Mike Norvell can absolutely put his nuts on the table and say, listen, I'm getting rid of this coach. You don't have to like it. I need you to know that you want to win football games because you want to make money. National championships make you money. Winning football games makes you more money. And so right now, I need $2 million. I'm going to fire this dude, pay him off, and I'm going to hire somebody else, this other guy from wherever school, whatever. And we're going to do this. We're going to make this move immediately because, again, our players are not understanding and not grasping it. It should never get to a place where these kids are calling their high school coaches and calling former players and asking the timeline, what should we be doing better? But that's what's happening right now. And so again, I get it. We've had the conversation. We had full podcasts about the admin. The admin is bad and there's a lot of problems. But as the CEO of Florida State, as the CEO of FSU football, he needed to go in there and demand some changes. He's not getting fired. So if he's not getting fired, which you know, they're not firing him. So if he wasn't getting fired, it don't matter. Like, you know what I mean? Go in there and start demanding change. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I mean when I say, like, okay, hey, I need to fire Adam Fuller. Oh, I'm sorry, we ain't got the money. All right, I'm out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there has to be like that's what rubbed people the wrong way about Jimbo Fisher. He was demanding certain things, and he eventually said, all right, fine, I won't demand nothing no more, and he quit. Now, again, that was the wrong way to handle it, but he was in there demanding certain things, and he was right about a lot of things he was demanding. So at this point, I need, like, you ain't getting fired, and he ain't going to quit. So Mike needs to jump. Hey, I got to get rid of this dude. I got to. I got recruits telling me that they're not coming because they don't want to be made to look bad. We got legacy players who choosing to go to other bad schools just because, you know what I mean? Because our defensive coordinator is going to have him looking crazy because he got our defensive end playing well in space. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's too much going on to where if I'm the man and I'm the head man of this team, I'm not going to be passive in my response. If I really want, you know what I mean? If I really want to win some football games, no, man. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure we make the changes we need to make, including if it's year zero.
Yeah, I mean, okay. All right. So let's go back to the transfer because I think it's the same conversation. And I agree with what you're saying. I agree with that. But who is he going to go to?
What you mean?
Who is Norvell supposed to go to? Because the AD is leaving, the president's leaving. So
somebody's making decisions. If somebody told him no, then go to the person who told him no.
I think this thing on autopilot. That's what I think. All right.
Somebody's making these decisions. Right. I refuse to believe they went to Mike Norvell and they said, Mike, don't ask us nothing. Don't sell us nothing. You ain't getting nothing. So don't ask. You come in this office. The answer is no. I just got no on the whiteboard behind my desk over here. They just say no. So when you walk in and you ask a question, I'm just pointing to the whiteboard. It ain't. Florida State is too big of a program to just be to run on autopilot. Like I know there's some changes and I know it's a lot of crazy happening. But the program is way too big to just say, all right, man, we're gonna put this thing on autopilot and we ain't gonna do nothing for a couple years.
Okay, so let's
not expect to still make money. Not expect this. I mean, that's how you could lose. You would lose. You'll be Nebraska.
Okay.
You right. Again. That's what I'm saying. Like, unless you're telling me they're trying to turn themselves into Nebraska or some of these other irrelevant programs that were good back in the 90s. I can't see them. You know what I mean? I can't see them doing that.
Hey man, Kobe, no. That's the last one,
Mitch.
That boy just called Coburn and Mitch McConnell.
Hey man, that's funny.
All right, so anyway, let's get back to the transfer. We're gonna get the guy Andrew Parchman, the wide receiver from Kansas. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we got him, they got Jermaine Johnson, and I think they're gonna take a tackle if we get James Cook. But what do you think about Parchman? I haven't watched him yet. You looked at him?
I haven't watched him either. I'm going to tell you this, but it's kind of like what you were saying earlier. Throw bodies at it. Throw bodies at the problem. We did it with the offensive line early. You know what I mean? We did it with the offensive line, and we happen to have hit on a few of them and have some really good coaching. Right. So, in my opinion, do the same thing, man. Just keep throwing people at the receivers, man. I mean, you want to grab as many receivers as you can. Maybe you hit on one. Again, Terry was a difference maker. You know what I mean? All you needed was one, because he took the top off the defense, which then made those other guys look a whole lot better. You know what I'm saying? So when he left, you saw how mediocre this defense, I mean, the wide receiver group was. So I think it's the same thing. Find you somebody to take the top off the defense. Find you somebody quick. Find you, again, we talked about it a few episodes ago. Find you James, Kadarius Toney. You know, find you somebody like that, man. Just somebody who can take it to the house. I can throw this bubble screen. He can make somebody miss. Man, hell, find you a Noonan Murray. You know what I mean? Like, go find you a Noonan Murray. Like, Noonan Murray was not great by any stretch, but Noonan Murray made plays in big time football games. And whenever you like, every single time they were down, they in the tight game, they would throw a little 10-yard or whatever, and Noonan was taking it to the house. Noonan was out jumping the Michigan defender for, you know, to win a game, a BCS game. I mean, so get you a Noonan Murray, man.
All right, but they got to get guys that's going to practice the way they want them to practice. And I think that's the big thing they're looking for. They
want to get the what's his name. I'm going to get that Allen. We got to get a soundboard. We talk about the future of what we want to do with this podcast. I'm going to get a soundboard. It's going to have Allen Iverson practice.
All right. So let's get to the next one. What's the next topic on the board?
Oh, man. It was simple, man. We want to talk about what the future of this podcast, man, how we want it to look, man, next year, some of the things we got going on, man. I'll let you start.
I would actually like to grow the YouTube community a little bit more. Something else, I think we've done a good job getting guests. I actually like to get some more guests, but I try to be very selective with the people we put on the pod, especially when we're trying to have like a serious conversation. I'd rather have people that other people that I trust that I feel like I'm going to learn something from. You know what I'm saying? I think we've done a good job with that. So, because somebody was asking me, did I want to go to more of a like less guests? You know, but I think people like having guests on the show, man. So I think we're going to keep doing the guest thing. And I got one guy I'm getting ready to add, which is kind of probably, we got to see though, but I'm probably going to add him. I think he'd be a good voice, real positive. So I think the pod's going to be in a good place, man. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, the same, man. I agree with the guests. I always say, like, man, when we get Adam and we get certain people on, man, like, those are the podcasts. I don't say very much, man. I just literally want to just sit back and learn. You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing about me, man, I don't never want to stop learning. And so, again, there are times we get James on and Wig and Richie, and, you know, we have listening to Ingram, we learned a lot from him as well. Just telling stories about, you know, things that we didn't, you know, we had heard some rumblings about, but him able to confirm some stuff about Jimbo Fisher on that podcast where, you know, shoot, they went and broke down from, you know, Bobby Bowden there all the way through present day on the podcast. You know what I mean? Just, you know, a timeline.
Yeah, that's a podcast that if people haven't listened to that podcast, I think you should go back and listen to it, because Ingram, you know, of course he has in-depth knowledge, but Adam was, Adam family's like a part of a big part of the booster board, actually. Well, I ain't say the booster board. I want to say they donate a lot of money to FSU. So. Right. Maybe a lot of information slides his way. So
yeah. So again, right. So both of those guys, man, did a whole lot of, you know, breaking down how we got here. And like you said, if you have not heard, if you have not, you know, listened to that podcast, man, go back and listen to it. It's with Adam and it's with Ingram, and both of those guys, like,
I'm gonna find that and put that in the comment section.
Yeah, I learned a lot that episode again about things that you had kind of heard rumblings about, but you didn't really know. So a whole lot more of those, you know what I mean? People with inside knowledge of the information. One thing about it, we're not FSU insiders, we FSU outsiders. Now we got some connections, we know some people, and we get rumblings of some things. Some stuff we choose to share on the pod, some stuff we choose not to, because that's kind of not like we ain't really into that whole, you know, gotcha journalism and stuff like that. So you know, we ain't gonna change. We said the intro. We ain't gonna change the intro, man. On the audio, well, at least I don't think we are. I know we talked about going to some more music, but we'll see. But no, man, it's one of those things where I think we want to get more guests like that, so that we can really, you know, give you some more of the inside knowledge, and we can give you some more of the behind the scenes things that maybe we don't have privy to, or even we just not comfortable with sharing. You know, Ingram has a different, you know, backing behind him. So if he shares it on the podcast, it hit a little different than if, you know, me or Sam say it. So
yeah, man. So it's been good. I think this is our first full season, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. We came in the last
October
last year. Yeah. Yeah, last two games of Willie's tenure, so, man.
Brandon got a little hike up.
Sam done froze again. We're gonna fix Sam's computer too. That's what we're gonna do in 2021. We are gonna figure out how to get Sam a new computer. That's what Man, we're frozen for a good 30 seconds. That's what we're going to do in 2021. We're going to get you a new computer, man. What you said?
My computer's actually coming in. I just ordered it, and it's taking forever to get here.
Okay, no. What you were saying now? Because whole thing froze.
Bro, I don't know, bro. I'm ready to end the podcast. I'm about to throw this computer out the window. So,
In 2021, man, we got a lot of things coming. Like Sam said, though. Absolutely, man. Subscribe to the YouTube, send it out to people, you know what I mean, who Florida State fans want to listen. We are going to continue to keep it real, whether people like it or not.
We're going to ask some Jags talk soon. Jags talk. We about to get Trevor Lawrence, baby. Hey.
Unless they decide to win today or do some dumb stuff.
Bro, what is up with you, bro? Jesus,
we just was talking about administrations. You can't tell me there's one worse than the Jaguars. Okay, thank you. Thank you. They'll go out there and win today. I'm telling they'll do it. I won't get until that last second ticks off on the game next week. I will.
All right, I had to remove Brandon out of the stream. I had to remove Brandon out of the stream because what he not finna do is sit here and talk about us not getting Trevor Lawrence. I apologize to everybody about that. I can't even have that type of negativity. I got to be real with y'all. I'm going to bring him back in a minute, but I got to let him clear that out, man. That was out of control. I can't have that, man. I just can't have it. We sit in James Robinson. The Browns ain't got no wide receivers, so I think the Jets going to beat the Browns. So Jags going to get Trevor Lawrence. It's going to be like a Jag/FSU pod. It's going down. I think Brandon ready to come back now. All right. What's up, bro? What's going on here? You all right?
Listen, all right? I'm speaking truth,
Brandon.
And you know that this organization.
Yeah, so that's how we're gonna wrap the pod, man. So y'all be good. Y'all have a great Sunday, man. And tank for Trevor, baby. Y'all be good. Yeah.